I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
To our look at the world of soccer.
And Jason Longshore has it all covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Welcome in. I'm Jason Longshore, and this is a special Atlanta Soccer Tonight interview. I had a chance to catch up with U.S. men's national team legend Jozy Altidore late last week over at a very cool facility called Sogility. It's a technology-driven soccer training facility with locations around the country, including right here in Fayetteville, Georgia, almost right around the corner from the Arthur M. Blank U.S. Soccer National Training Center. They combine cutting-edge training technology with expert coaching to help players of all ages develop their technical skills, their tactical awareness, their overall game. If you've got a young player looking to get better this summer, Sogility.net is worth a look, and they also have some lessons and things you can do on your own outside of the facility. Really cool partnerships going on with everything that Sogility is doing. Jozy Altidore is a big part of it. Pretty cool place as well. It used to be the old soccer center in Fayetteville, a place where I played as a kid. I played after I graduated high school as well. Friday nights at the soccer center. It used to be pretty wild. Now it is a cutting edge player development space, and Jozy Altidore is a big part of it. So a cool place to have a conversation. We talked Toronto FC. We talked about Sogility. We talked about confidence for strikers, and we talked about, you know, this big thing coming up called the World Cup. This was just a couple days after the U.S. men's national team came together, and that's where our conversation started. What are the guys going through this week getting ready for the World Cup a couple days after they make the team?
You know, I think for a lot of them, you know, the anxiety is a little bit gone in terms of, you know, am I going to make it? These kind of things. And I think a lot of them are feeling proud. It's a proud moment, you know, to qualify for a World Cup and be one of the guys that are going to represent the country on a global level that you know, really is incomparable in terms of viewership, in terms of responsibility and everything that goes into playing a World Cup. So I know they'll be really excited and now itching to kind of now see where their place falls in terms of getting minutes and playing time and supporting one another. So it's definitely, I think, a little bit calmer time, but not for much longer before everything ramps up again in a few weeks.
It's been cool talking to the guys this week and everybody kind of getting into the idea of, we don't have to be the nice guys anymore. And it feels like Mauricio Pochettino is kind of putting that into them. You can be nasty. You can be physical. You can be aggressive. Do you like hearing that?
I love it. I love it because it's a maturation of a cycle, of a program. And I think for a long time, our program has probably been nice in terms of how we played, in terms of, you know, there's a bit of a tenacity, a bit of a nastiness that I think some of the best teams have. And we've seen that develop, but I think this group is really taking it upon themselves to kind of go out there and be, you know, unforgiving in the way they approach the game and the way they, you know, approach, you know, being physical with opponents. And I think you need to do that if you want to continue to grow to the next level.
There's going to be a lot of focus on Christian, obviously, being a face of the team and having a lot of pressure on his back. What is that like?
Yeah, it's really hard to explain, but I think once the games start going, all that goes away, right? After 10 minutes in a game, when you're trying to figure out how do I break down the game, you know, that stuff starts to subside. And I think for Christian, it's normal. He's been dealing with it since 16, 17 years old. And oddly enough, I think when it starts so early, you become kind of numb to it. Obviously, you understand the expectation, but I don't think he's worried by it. And if anything, I think more importantly, it's the guys that in and around Christian that are going to be really important for us. We need guys to kind of, at this tournament, play to their potential in the sense of, you know, being aggressive, being tough to play against, creating chances for themselves and other players. So I'm really excited. I think when I was able to see the group and meet the players, I saw a lot of upbeat, I saw a lot of focus, a lot of positivity, and a lot of concentration, which you need with a lot of things going on in a tournament like this.
When you think back to your time in these situations, either before a tournament, right before, or during a World Cup, what's your favorite memory?
You know, it's it's interesting. Like, for me, it was the family stuff, you know, like just having the family travel and get ready to go. And you don't understand how it excites them and how it brings them together. And, you know, your parents, right? Like, all the sacrifice driving you to practice and all the things that they do when you're younger, to let them see you in that moment, I think is second to none. And I think for a lot of these guys, that sentiment is the same. You know, their parents sacrificed a lot, did a lot of work to get them to this point. And now it's like a confirmation in all that sacrifice and hard work. So for me, that was the best part, with the satisfaction it gave my family. And I think for a lot of these guys, it'll be similar.
So we're sitting here at Sagility in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
Tell me about why you got involved here in Fayetteville, Georgia.
Yeah, you know, Fayetteville, Georgia has always been on our mind because of, you know, being able to play here in MLS and in the past, coming here for different camps and games, you saw such diversity, such a hunger for the game, even at that time. And so when we started really growing the business here at Sogility, we understood that Atlanta was always, you know, Georgia was always a place we wanted to be in. And then, you know, we found this space in Fayetteville, and it's exactly what we dreamed about. You know, we wanted a larger facility, one that could house a bit more kids to fit, you know, kind of the appetite that is here. You know, you have McCurry mm-hmm. Park, which isn't too far. There's a ton of soccer happening here. So we were really excited to be able to have things come together and be something that community really rallies around.
It's crazy to be here on this field right now, me having flashbacks, because I think I probably got thrown into a wall over here to my right at some point. I know I scored a few goals down on that end.
There you go.
It's a place that's got a lot of history, and yeah. You guys are bringing something new to the area. Just for people who don't know Sogility yet, what's the mindset behind it?
So the mindset for us is to use technology and fuse it into the training to really inundate and give kids more confidence playing soccer. I think our thesis is youth soccer and youth sports right now is so intense in terms of, you know, it's a very intimidating atmosphere to go into as a young player. And we wanted to create a safe space, a place for players to kind of come in and leave all that behind. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not club affiliated, we're completely independent, and our main goal is to see the development of the player, both in athlete development, in their bodies, in their agility, and then obviously their technique and their playing. But in a way where, you know, it's just them and the coach, or them and a small group, and they're able to express themselves, have fun, and gain confidence. So when they're going back to their team setting, they feel like they've been able to improve, and they feel like they've been able to come out of their shell a bit more, and get kind of training that sometimes in the team environment you're not able to get. You're not able to focus on certain parts of your game that you need to improve. So we're really excited. The response has been great from the community, and we're really excited for, you know, another year of hopefully a lot of growth.
It's exciting to hear you talk about helping players come out of their shell, because I feel like we have this conversation over the years about soccer in this country and how we want to see it get better. And we want players to be creative, to be risk-taking, yes, to try stuff. How do you kind of bring that out in young players? Something that I think maybe as a country we've always kind of struggled with.
You know, it's a really interesting question. I think for me, I think I was always a little bit misunderstood in terms of, you know, how I communicated certain things during my time at U.S. Soccer, in terms of my needs as a player and other players as well. I think what's really important is to create a mindset and create a way of playing from young ages that will then translate to every kind of point where they transition. So from, you know, recreational to then, you know, players that are starting to take it a little bit more serious in that intermediate period, and then there's pre-professional and then there's professional. Can we find a way to connect all of these to where as you leap, the playing, the tactics, the structure is similar? And in that, individual players are allowed to bring out what they're special at into that system, if that makes sense. And I think that starts with the mentality from a young age. And that's why at Sogility, we're really excited, because we're training different and we're getting better every day, but we're slowly ramping it up. But training kids from a young age how to use their body, how to be cognitive, how to change the pony, the attack. And you start it in a way where it's fun, yep, right? Kids are 4, 5, 6, 7 years old learning really important methods of the game, but they're having fun.
Yep.
So you're starting to train the mind. They don't even know it yet. And I think that's what's really special about facilities like ours, is we try to use those game principles that will help them in their game, from youth all the way, you know, when they become professionals. And we've had a number of testimonial cases of players that have come through our facilities that now play in the NWSL or MLS. So we're really excited about what we're doing. But that, for me, is the main point, to get younger players who offer something different, to start understanding the different game methods and what's necessary in the American game and the American national team, but still keep their individuality and learn how to play within that system. And I think that's important. And that's how you don't miss talents or deem talents not good enough, because you have to find a way to, A, have them understand your system, B, have them understand the mentality, but still offer their individuality.
Yeah.
Because that's really, really important, and that's what makes players different.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I think what's cool about this place too is it's holistic. Yes. You know, it's technical. There is a tactical component to it, even in an individual situation.
Exactly.
There's the cognitive. When you guys were coming up with what the Sogility method would be, how involved were you in kind of helping figure that out from your experiences?
You know, it's been something that I don't sleep on,
yeah.
To be honest, because, you know, as we started to grow the business, you know, I've been receiving more and more letters and messages from parents, from players, talking about how they learn different ways to play the game, how their knowledge increased, or B, how they've said, hey, you know, maybe soccer is not going to be my career, but I want to play in the game. I want to coach. I want to be a part of it. And so that for me has been the most rewarding part. But on the other side, it's like, I got to make sure we keep getting better. I got to make sure we keep improving. And we're a place not only for kids that want to play professionally for the men's team, but also people that want to play for the deaf team, want to play for the other aspects of the national team, who have started to reach out saying, hey, do you have an area for us? So for us, it's a constant challenge to make sure that we are a place for everybody. And luckily enough, we have such a great team here at Soju that we've been able to accommodate that. So in a sense, it's never done. You're always iterating. It's always ongoing. But it's the most fun I've had since I've been a professional. So I really, really enjoy each and every day. And I love the grind.
How much have you enjoyed kind of having these conversations about how to make the game that we all care about so much better? And now with U.S. Soccer just literally down the street, about 5-10 minutes away, having the ability to hopefully influence that at a national level.
Yeah, and that's been really interesting, because I think when you're able to build out something like this, and we've now done it in a few cities now, we're up to 6 locations now, hopefully 8 here by the end of the year, you know, you start to build that equity as well with people that say, hey, you know, they have a methodology that makes sense, and we want to kind of combine with what we're doing with what they're doing. And then, you know, that's really big for me is partnering with different organizations like the U.S. Men's National Team and trying to find ways where we can offer our tech, offer their coaching, and work together to really service these kids in a different way. And then the data piece, I think, is really important, right? Having this data to kind of understand at an early age what players can kind of, you can kind of map out what they already need to work on, what type of players they're starting to formulate to be, and make sure everything's balanced. So again, it's never ending, but it's really fun getting and taking these deeper dives.
It's something that jumped out to me is that the data side, and you mentioned it earlier for the youngest kids, it's gamification of it as well. So they're playing, they're competing, they're trying to be better than their friends, they're trying to be better than themselves. But you're also compiling real data that helps these players get better down the line.
Yes, exactly. And you know, one of the games that we've started to usher into our facilities is a change of the attack game, where the kids love it because the boards light up. So you have a board basically circled in a box, and you have two goals that light up, or two boards that light up one color and two that light up another color. And the kids love it because it's showing their favorite colors. Mm-hmm. But as they start to play and as they start to hit the boards and the colors change, they're having to change their point of the attack.
Yep.
They're having to change their body movement and kind of now refocus, okay, how do we press or attack this way? And it sometimes to people, it may sound silly, because they're so young and they're doing it, but this is what they're going to be exposed to 100%. As they grow. So can you find ways to expose them to things that they will find later down the road, but in a way where they feel confident, they have fun, they understand, they're still able to be themselves with their individuality and how they play, but within understanding the structure of how the team would want to approach a match. So it's little things like that where we try to make sure we're exposing them to different things. But the main thing for us is that the kids have fun, they improve, and they feel confident about what they're doing.
You've said confidence a few times, and it's something that has come up a lot lately when we talk Atlanta United. Yeah. You know, we're watching a striker in Latte Lot with Atlanta United who is a great player but isn't scoring goals, and confidence becomes an issue. I'm sure you went through this at some point in your career. How do you stay confident or rebuild confidence as a pro?
Keeping the main thing the main thing. It's been my motto my entire career, and it has so many meanings. For a guy like this, what I would say is, like, one thing I think we need to improve on here, and I don't know Atlanta United's structure or how they train, but for me, what really helped younger was training, adding extra sessions. And I think that's one of the things that I think we have to think about here in the United States is, like, you know, do we have sessions dedicated for strikers just to score goals? That way, you know, a guy like, you know, Latte Lott or whoever can constantly see the ball hit the net, work on things. So when the game comes along, it's no longer about confidence necessarily, and it's instinctive because they've been training it. And so that's one of the things that I think we can improve on is giving each individual player time to focus on game-like situations and moments that only they will face. And when you start to look around the pitch and starting to divide it, it's really helpful because, you know, example, the left back getting the ball from the center back, right? He's going to turn, look up. How many times can we give him that view so that on a Saturday it's second nature, you know? And I think the same applies for a striker. So a bit long-winded, but I hope that answers your question.
No, that's great. And that's the kind of stuff that I think is always missing when we have these conversations. Oh, we want somebody to score goals. Okay, it's not that simple. There's a lot of things that go into it. And confidence in the mental side of the game are such an important thing. Absolutely. And I love that you guys here tie in the physical and tie in the technical with the mental. That's such an important combination.
Listen, the mind controls the body. I always tell everybody that. So if they're disconnected, you're going to have problems. And I'll say it again, you know, for strikers, it's so important, the visualization, the routine, the kind of knowing where you are without looking, by just knowing and feeling that you're in the right space. And it's something that we could work on, because I really do think we have some talent here and that I watch all the time in MLS struggle. And I wonder, are they getting the proper training? Are they working on the right things so that, you know, they can help feel more confident in these moments? So, again, it's just my opinion, but I've seen Latte play before. I think he has all the ability in the world. And, you know, I would like him, hopefully, you know, start to pick up, because these type of player profiles, I think, can go a long way in this league.
Yeah, and you've seen this league grow over the years. You're not that far out of it yourself.
Yeah.
How is it for you watching where MLS is today and you thinking back to when you broke in to the league?
You know, it's so incredible. It's so rewarding to see the growth, you know. I think it's only going to keep getting better. I would like to see some changes in the salary cap.
Same.
Because I think the ambition's there. I think the fan support is there, and the fans want more. So I think how we get creative over letting teams kind of, you know, be a little bit more ambitious with, at the same time, controlling the spending, because I understand why that happens.
Right?
We don't want teams to go through financial hardships, but at the same time, I think we have to feed that fan culture that you see in a place like Atlanta, where they demand success and they want to see it, and they want to see good soccer. So hopefully we can see an increase there, because I think that'll only help the league kind of in the profile keep continuing to rise.
We'll finish with this. We talked a little bit before we started about the rivalry that you dealt with Toronto and Atlanta, and that was a really good one when Atlanta broke into the league. I still have to send you the clip of me losing my mind yelling about you stealing a throw-in. But what are your memories of games here in Atlanta?
You know what? They were the best games. I mean, obviously, they were through a tough period in terms of, you know, when we didn't qualify for the World Cup. I had to play a few games here, but I loved it. I love to see that the fans cared. Obviously, you know, it's tough to go through those moments, but it was great to see Atlanta stick up for Atlanta. And you've seen that in different markets. They've continued to grow. But this was by far one of the best games to play, both away and home, because of the type of football Atlanta played. You always knew they were going to try to play and be aggressive in their playing. And you love to see teams in the United States have their own mythology. but also mythologies that match what they're trying to do at the national level. Because I think that's the next level of our growth. And I think Atlanta United did a really good job of that, and I hope to see them return to that.
Those 2017 games were two of the best that I remember in Atlanta's history.
We played them there, and I don't know if it was 2-2 there.
2-2, both.
Both.
Yeah,
and,
both were 2-2.
You know, I remember playing them in Toronto, and I was like, wow. Like, for the first time in a while, I was like, you know, this team, you know, if I was, you know, if I didn't know any better, I would say this is a South American or European team. You know, the speed of play, the little intricate things that they were doing, it was incredible. So, you know, Atlanta is one of the clubs that you like to see always at the top of MLS.
Hopefully that will get back there. Let me end with this. 2017 Toronto. I've made this argument before that that is one of the best teams in MLS history.
Absolutely.
I think what you guys did was unbelievable. What made that team so special in your mind?
I think timing. Timing was a big part of it. I think they got guys to buy into a new kind of era of MLS at a time where, you know, we didn't know it, but, you know, a lot of MLS teams were starting to gear up and think differently. And so we were kind of one of the first to do so. And then Atlanta was literally right after. And then now we've seen what's happened with all the different markets. And I think, yeah, that timing was special. I think we had a special group of players, obviously. And then we had an incredible home support. I have to say,
I mean,
the amount of sellouts we had in a beautiful soccer-specific stadium, right, it goes a long way. And it made teams, I think, intimidated every time they came to us.
100%.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.